This is Sierra Dahl with Municipal Sustainability and Energy Forum. And today we have Jerry Braun, who is going to be talking about a report that he has put together with an advisory committee talking about a synopsis of effective collaboration strategies for local government and utilities. So, Jerry, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've learned.
Okay. Thanks, Sierra. I think what I'd like to do is kind of just give a quick executive summary of the report. As Sierra said, we've been working on this for a year, and this is a project of the Integrated Resources Network, which is a not-for-profit that focuses on clean local energy integration. And one of the things that that has come up in some of the calls that Sierra's hosted in the past is some of the obstacles to moving the needle on local resource clean energy resource development. Pretty much the issue is that there's very little collaboration between local government and the incumbent energy utilities. And after thinking about this a lot and talking to a lot of people and kind of stepping back, what seemed to be the important focus was to kind of remove some of the barriers and the obstacles to local energy collaboration. And so, and basically, it's not going to happen from the bottom up. It really requires states to intervene. And so, so the work that we've been doing has been organized around what I call local collaboration opportunities. We've basically covered about 10 different opportunities that. Each of which has a different profile in terms of what kind of collaboration is needed. What can the states do to intervene? What can local governments do, and what can they not do? What can utilities do? What can they not do, and so forth. So, what I want to do is just before opening it up to questions or comments, I'd like to just list the. The areas that where we have recommendations for state policy, then we can talk about any of them that are of interest this morning. Number one, and this is probably they're all of different importance in different states, I think, but in California at least. On-site solar and storage is probably at the top of the list. It's got a lot of traction here in terms of net metering. It's getting traction across the country, but it's also very limited by some utility rules that are probably need to be changed. The same is true for community renewables and storage. But different rules are the impediments, not the same rules exactly. There are a lot of communities that are wanting to do this, but not finding a clear path forward. The third area is, and this is something that's come up on some calls Sierra's organized that. I call it university engagement. What can universities do to weigh in, especially in support of the local governments? Local governments don't have a lot of energy analysis capacity, planning capacity, and what have you. So it's kind of an unequal engagement with the energy utilities. And I think we think that universities can play a role in kind of facilitating the collaboration to some extent. The fourth item is what I call underserved communities, and there's a lot of focus on that across the country, especially in terms of energy and to some extent, the sending dollars out of the underserved community to pay for imported energy is not, it just makes things more difficult. So what can states do to encourage development of local resources is basically the question. Energy training, again, one of the things to have a good collaborative effort between local government and utilities requires that both sides really be competent to manage energy and have staff that has the right training to really effectively engage. And that's a gap that needs to be filled. The seventh item is basically decisions that that we all make, families, businesses. Businesses are pretty good at making good energy decisions because, especially in cases where they have a big energy bill, it's a little bit more spotty in terms of families and homes. Some people, look at their bills and figure out what they could do to save energy or to pay less, and others simply pay the bill. And so the question is, how can states encourage collaboration toward better energy decision making by energy users? Next is planning and analysis. A lot of communities are setting goals, so are states, for decarbonization and energy resilience. Without knowing what your energy profile is as a local community, as a county or city, you're basically just setting a goal and not knowing whether you have a plan to achieve it. To be able to achieve goals really requires that you do some planning. In California, communities 10 years ago, prepared climate action plans, but in general, they had no capacity or funds to monitor their progress, and so the plans are just out of date, and there has been no real effort to update the plans or the analysis that went into them, and that's the best case, perhaps. Locally, but obviously collaboration would be helpful in that regard. The ninth item is transportation fueling. That's something that isn't really on a lot of local radars right now, but as electric vehicles penetrate in various markets around the country, utilities will certainly be will be engaged on the topic of fueling, but fueling is a local thing that's done locally. Local government has a role and certainly could have a big planning role in collaboration with energy utilities. And finally, building electrification is also something that is coming to the fore as there is a realization that it's not just transportation, it's not just the fact that that we need more renewables and less coal, but the carbon footprints of many communities are dominated by the use of natural gas for heating water, for heating space, and if the electricity supply was low carbon, then switching to heat pumps and that sort of thing would be the right direction, especially in cases where the climate is moderate and it would make you know, it'd make good sense in terms of decarbonization as well as economically. So those are the 10 topics, and if there's any interest in any of them, we can go forward with the conversation.
All right. Jerry, have you come up with any results on any of these, the solutions of how to move forward?
Well, of course.
You want to talk a little bit about that before we get into opening it up with other questions?
Well, why don't we start with the ones that I started with, and I'll give you an example of the some of the recommendations. let's take what's called net energy metering, or on-site solar is another way of terming it. If you look at the data nationwide, and especially in California, what we're beginning to see is a there is a local industry in many communities that is pretty stable and creates jobs and is dominated by local contractors, really. There are some national installers that are part of it, but most of the work gets done by locally based companies. This is a significant benefit to counties and cities in terms of job creation and greenhouse emissions reductions and so forth. What states can do is really to change the game and basically get more bang for the buck that they're not putting out, and neither are the counties and cities. It's really an investment that local families and businesses are making, and it's not a very efficient and not a very economically efficient investment, because in California and I think most other states, the sizing of the rooftop solar systems is limited to historical usage. And as you so you have in some cases relatively small arrays on relatively large roofs, and smaller systems are more expensive per unit of energy than larger systems. But also, in going back to the comment about electrification, there's an opportunity really to generate more electricity, more 100%, more zero carbon electricity, and feed it into the grid. But there are limits on being able to size the system to do that. And as people, purchase electric vehicles and switch from natural gas to heat pumps and things like that, there's a real opportunity to generate more 100% carbon-free electricity just by allowing larger size systems on roofs or full size systems on roofs. And obviously there are grid impacts. Utilities have concerns about that, but I think the states can engage on system sizing and make the sizing rules consistent with what the reasonable expectations are on future electricity usage, rather than sizing rooftop solar systems, looking in the rearview mirror as we're doing currently. So that's an example. I'll stop there. If there's any discussion of that, I'd welcome it, because I think it's a pretty important issue. And it's a national issue. It isn't just in California.
Okay. One thing first. I have one person from 719. Do you want to identify yourself? I'm not sure who that would be.
This is Jeff Peterson in Raton.
Oh, okay. Very good. I wasn't recognizing your phone number, Jeff.
I dialed in.
And then, yeah, super. And then we have Evan. Is that you on here? I have one other person here that doesn't have a phone number.
Sierra, Matt Renner joined from the 510 area code.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Matt Renner from 510 area code.
Yeah, I got you, Matt. There's one person who doesn't have, is it Evan? Are you on there? You're using Skype? Nope. Well, we have one nameless person here. So, all right.
Richard Chorsky with CNE Alliance, 415 area code, has joined as well.
Okay. All right. All right, so we have a couple new people on here, and Richard is one of them, and Jeff is the other, two Jeffs, actually, Jeff Hinsky and Jeff, and I can't think of your last name offhand, you just told me, and I spaced it again.
Peterson,
sure, of course. Yeah. Okay, so anyhow, if you have any questions for Jerry, please just go ahead and dive in, and we'll take it from here.
This is Tom Stanton. You mentioned that there's a report. Is that the report that it's two pages that's on the IRESN website, City Utility Collaboration for Energy Resilience and Sustainability?
No, Jeff, that was kind of the launching article and just describing the project. No, there's a report that will be available by the end of January, before the end of January, that documents, the project and goes through in some detail, the background and the recommendations in the areas that I mentioned. And if you're interested in it, certainly, if you attend tomorrow's webinar, my contact information will be available, and you can let me know that you're interested in having a copy of the report. The presentation tomorrow, the slides will also be available. I think we have the report and the slides for the presentation are completely aligned and pretty much similar content. I think there's a lot of information that I won't be able to cover today, and quite a bit that I won't be able to even cover in a 35-minute webinar, so the report will have that, and you're certainly welcome to it. It's just let me know. I've indicated to Sierra that I would like to, be I'm happy to take to know anybody who would like a copy of the report and make sure that they get it, and it will be posted on the website as well.
Couple of things on that regard. I will be sending the report out to all the members of this group after the report's available, so I'm sure Jerry can send that to me. And also, Jerry, tomorrow, I'd like to have people send it to me, and then I'll forward that to you if that's all right. And that way, then I also know who's interested. So, but we'll make sure that you get the names and you can send the report out yourself if you'd like. So any other questions here or any comments?
Well, this is Tom Stanton again. A couple things. One, many states are fully engaging now in trying to imagine utility business models for the future where it will be in the utility's best interest to help do what is in society's best interest. That has been a goal of the Utility Regulators Association going all the way back to 1989. When the resolution was passed that said we must do it that way. So the regulators, by and large, have been ignoring that advice now for 30 years. I was just back from meetings with both the Hawaii PUC and utility in Hawaii, the investor-owned utility that serves three different islands in Hawaii, and then also regulators from the Puerto Rico Public Utilities Commission. And one thing that's extremely clear is that those utilities that are finally starting to engage in distribution energy planning in a new way, in a modern way, are finding that they must work with end-use customers. They must work with cities and other city leaders. So there's getting to be more and more emphasis on trying to learn these lessons. That's why I'm so keenly interested in the report that's forthcoming. Honestly, I feel like when we hear about what's going on in California, often you're so far ahead of other states that it's hard for the regulators in other states to look at California and think, yes, we should try doing what California is doing. So you're out in front in many, many ways, but it's an incredibly important subject matter. The experience in New York City is emblematic that the utility was able to find enough customers in the Brooklyn and Queens area willing to do all different kinds of things to reduce the load, that they've been able to avoid $1 billion expenditure on centralized utility infrastructure, instead using roughly $200 million of small distributed resources. And that's really just the tip of an iceberg that is going to become clearer and clearer as we go into the future. So I'll shut up now, but that, you know, great topic. You're starting to find a bunch of really good ideas. The information about the local economic development benefits of having distributed resources could be made drastically more robust, and that's a project I've been trying to find funding for. We know how to do it. We've got the computer modeling that's capable of doing it, but it's hardly been touched. So I'll shut up now, but thank you for the opportunity.
Well, yes, Tom. Let me reflect briefly on your comments and the last one too. I think, and I covered this to some extent in a previous webinar, and also a posting on the website. But the city I live in has about, I think about 30%+ of its single family homes do have solar, and just doing the arithmetic on what that means to our community, we're about maybe less than 70,000 people, but what does that do to our economics? If you add up just the investment in on-site solar and electric vehicles, it comes to $200 or $300 million a year, $200 or $300 million, and if you work that out in terms of direct and indirect and induced jobs, the benefit to our local economy as well is in the $10 to $20 million a year range, which is equivalent to a permanent 20% reduction in electricity rates if that were the way it were working. So I think the analysis is relatively simple, and there is a report that was done for, I think it was Silicon Valley, but not quite sure. I don't remember exactly. But I think the principles that report and that that analysis is really not difficult and could be done, in any situation. So I completely agree with you. Going back to the question to the utilities and the utility business model. I was around in the utility industry three decades ago, and really, you're right. There's been a lot of talk over three decades about new business models and no new business models. And you know, I think that the issue, I almost think that each state needs to think about it on their own, because each state has a very different situation, and what is the best middle business model may vary from state to state. Certainly one thing we always neglect to consider, you know, with the focus is always on the electric utilities, but I think it needs to be, the focus needs to be on both electric utilities and natural gas utilities. There probably is an opportunity for new business models in both cases. The natural gas utilities are not going to go away. They have a key role to play if not decarbonization. Quite frankly, in some states, they are a key to decarbonization. But they certainly have a role in energy resilience, and in some ways, maybe equally or more important from the point of view of energy resilience. So I think the business model discussion really needs to be very broad and very specific, and take into account the differences. As you mentioned, California is thinking about a lot of things, and energy customers are doing a lot. But I would almost say that we have new trouble changing the utility business model, more challenges in changing utility business models than other states do. Perhaps because we use our electric utilities as basically the state's primary energy policy instrument, and there's a body of law and legislation and regulation that stems from that, that is, you know, needs to change. And changing, as you know, changing laws that, you know, that protect powerful interests is a heavy lift. So I would say that other states have equal or perhaps greater opportunity to move forward on that front than California. And so thanks for the comment.
Yeah, those are all good points. I would also add water and wastewater utilities to your thoughts about, you know, what ultimately needs to be integrated and needs to be part of these solutions.
Yeah, I happen to serve on our city's I've chaired our city's utility services advisory committee for a couple of years, and still on it. And I would completely agree with you. And one of the things that cities bring to the table, counties as well, is experience in rate setting, because that's a big part of running a utility. And local governments run utilities, and I think getting local jurisdictions involved in that process in energy as well as water, wastewater, and trash collection and so forth. Those are there opportunities for integration between energy and those services, but there's an opportunity to for counties and cities to use some skills they already have. They are running utilities, and so they if we can connect to the public works departments and between the public works departments and the energy utilities, I think we have a path forward. Other thoughts?
Yeah. Anybody else?
This is Evan Hughes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we're good. Go ahead, Evan.
My thought on the utilities was that the gas utilities' role in cutting fossil carbon emissions could be in in biogas and CNG as a vehicle fuel for trucks and cars, maybe especially trucks. And electric utilities would be the usual role we think of for electric vehicles and battery storage.
Good point, Evan. One additional point is that the natural gas utilities have long been involved in combined heat and power, and certainly, in urban core areas, there's an opportunity, I think, to look at some technologies that the gas industry has been working on for a long time, and perhaps going beyond decarbonizing the fuel, if you will, but also using it a lot more efficiently. Combined heat and power is a big thing, of course, but scaling it down to the scale and application that other than industrial processes, I think is an opportunity for the gas industry.
Any other comments here? Richard, do you have anything to add to this? Richard Swartzke?
I don't have anything to add. Thank you. Sure.
Jeff Hinsky?
No, not right now. I'm good.
Okay. Anybody else?
On industrial processes that the gas utilities might be involved in, Jerry, you might say what you were thinking of. I was thinking of waste streams that can be turned into biogas.
I know, and I agree with that. That is a renewal. The idea of renewable natural gas has really been around for a while. It's getting some traction, I don't have a view of it nationally, but certainly in California, it's getting some traction. But I don't know whether you're thinking in terms of the where natural gas goes and how where it's used. A big chunk of natural gas usage is industrial, and it's going to be really hard to electrify that. And so you have opportunities in that context for combined heat and power, combined heat and power and cooling. I'm not sure that probably at the large industrial scale, those opportunities may be pretty well engaged, but at the smaller scale, commercial scale, and even residential scale, as I said, in situations where you have densely populated areas, I think there's an opportunity for, instead of generating electricity in a natural gas-fired power plant somewhere, somewhere else, you have the opportunity to generate it near the electricity use, and use the natural gas at a 80% or 90% efficiency versus generating electricity and using electricity. Generating electricity at 40% or maybe 40%+, that's a factor of two difference in carbon emissions just by localizing the electricity production.
Good point.
This is Tom Stanton again. One thing I would say to you all is be careful of falling into the trap of thinking that the best thing to do with our biogas is generate wholesale electricity. That's one of the worst things that we can do with it, and there are many way more economical opportunities for generating either liquid fuels or gas fuels and then using them to directly replace the purchases that would otherwise be taking place of fossil fuel.
Good point. 17,
yes, my first example was compressed natural gas made from biogas.
Okay, good thoughts. Any of the other topics that I mentioned in my long list, anybody have any questions or thoughts on them?
Jerry, do you want to get a little bit into some of the recommendations?
Well, the recommendations basically are organized according to the topics. The general recommendations. I guess I could go to the general recommendations. And this is probably this is important. I think what I'm seeing is that the states, and again, you know, our focus has been what can states do to intervene, because in a lot of states nothing is happening and nothing will happen unless the state intervenes. But one thing that one idea that one of our advisory committee members suggested that I thought, you know, was on point is states may need to establish some coordination authority with funding that would be focused on facilitating local energy collaboration. And you can see a lot of related things that you know, that authority could do, including really helping the state strike a balance between, you know, between the current paradigm, which is, you know, centralized, and a paradigm that is, you know, that is localized. What is the balance between, you know, for the state in terms of, you know, bottom up versus top down energy supply? What's the roadmap to get to an energy secure future, and a resilient energy future? And what is the critical path to successful collaboration at the local level? I think that states may need to have a point of coordination in state government. The states have energy agencies. You know, like California has at least four different state authorities that regulate in different dimensions of energy, but when it's necessary for those agencies to coordinate, you know, somebody in the governor's office has to take that on, and I think in terms of local collaboration, it would be really good if. It would be really good if the if this was a, you know, a stable permanent assignment that you know, that there was a place in state government to, you know, that where the goal that coordination point would be local energy collaboration and removing barriers to it. So that's my thought, and that's a general recommendation that will be in the report.
Any thoughts on incentives for states to do that?
This is Matt Renner. Can I chime in? Is that okay?
Sure. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, I want to leverage off what you just said there. I think it's exactly right. I used to be from the Clean Coalition. I've taken a leave of absence to work with the climate mobilization. We're working on basically creating the political will at the grassroots level for that kind of implementation at the state level. Right now, we're focused in California, basically seeing it as everyone does in this industry, as like the place where these good ideas kind of start and then proliferate. We do it under a banner of essentially engaging the population as opposed to trying to do this just from the policy level by organizing cities and counties under the banner of climate emergency, which is the framing mm-hmm. that we think is most effective at actually getting people engaged and getting people's minds focused on the many changes that need to happen in the energy sector and beyond. And we've seen some progress here with, I just point people to the city of Los Angeles, where we've had the most impact that is working to create a climate emergency mobilization department, which would essentially be the intercity coordinator for increasing the, you know, the city's climate, or essentially achieving their zero carbon economy by 2030, so across all spectrums of the economy, and defining what that means, and being the intercity coordinating body in the city's government. So that's one model that we're hoping to then scale up to the state level. Progress there has been not as fast as we'd like, but it's actually going pretty well, and I'm sure there'll be more to share about that in the near future. If you want to check out more about that, look at climatemobilization.org and look for the city-by-city work that we've been doing.
Well, Matt, I really like that because the reason for wanting states to intervene is simply because they intervene in so many ways, especially if you're familiar with how the other utilities, non-energy utilities that local government runs, the state, their direction comes from the state. They're constantly shifting their programs because the state is setting new standards and new guidelines. Doesn't happen in energy because there are to the same extent because the state directly regulates energy utilities. But right. I think your model in Los Angeles, I think I'm really glad to know about it, because I think eventually what happens if you do this in a particular area, a large city, for example, I joke about it, but the state will end up saying to itself, wait a minute, we're their leader. Which way are they going?
Exactly.
So modeling what you'd like the state to do and doing it at a significant level in a major population center makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and there's some work down there that City Council Member Paul Koretz has been leading with a big coalition of a wide variety of activist groups. So it's really interesting stuff, and if I can, I'll find more info to share with the group.
That would be great. And the climate emergency
who is talking with climatemobilization.org? Who is speaking?
This is Matt Renner.
Oh, hi, Matt. Thanks. I just want to identify you as Richard Shorsky.
Sure. Hey.
Okay, next.
Matt, just a quick follow-up on your initiative, and I'm only very peripherally aware, and will now become centrally aware because it sounds exciting and I appreciate your work. Can you just kind of give us a quick short sort of theory of change with regard to how municipalities move from, and I'm talking about municipalities that are, let's say under 200,000 pop. Obviously LA is
is uniquely well-resourced for climate action in some ways, but municipalities, say, throughout L.A. County, what is your vision for how local municipal climate action, particularly the most aggressive of the kind you're describing, the true net zero carbon approaches across different segments, how would they be better resourced or integrated in a metro region to move the ball forward faster? Like a
great
lot
question.
Of climate action work at the cities and have also can verify the plan on a shelf problem and the under-resourced problem.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we're trying to go after here is like there's a lot of good plans and a lot of good press releases have been issued. Now we want to see how to actually get people into a mobilization framework. It's hard, obviously, given the way the budgets work at both the local and state level, but we actually want we want to be teeing this all up and creating coordination as an example for a national mobilization in 2021 when we get a mobilization Congress and president. Supporting and akin to what the Green New Deal folks are working on, and we share a lot of the same goals and intentions, and we've coordinated with them on some of their work. But essentially, the concept in California is a local-first, city-by-city organizing campaign that quickly moves into a statewide declaration of climate emergency and legislation to start the mobilization here now. And the city-by-city work in the Bay Area has been interesting because we have Berkeley first, and then Richmond, and then Oakland, and then Santa Cruz in the wider Bay Area. And we're working on San Francisco to do a regional approach, right? So smaller cities can come together in regional efforts, is the way we're thinking about this, to actually be able to plan broader work, because obviously cities are going to go at different paces and have different amounts of resources depending on size and commitment to these goals. Like I said, the ultimate goal here is to have the cities in alignment with these climate action goals and basically much more aggressive than the existing climate action plans that are on the books, given the nature of the emergency. We want to have a deliberative democracy element potentially that would be driven by citizens, by residents, as opposed to just a top-down or even city-down effort. So that's something we're piloting and working on. And then we want to see the statewide implementation of a coordinating body, which kind of exists but hasn't taken center stage at the state level, to be able to work with the regional and, in the larger cities, the citywide coordinating bodies so that everyone can actually get on the same page and start seeing if we can move city budgets and planning and regulation all in coordination towards these goals. So it's kind of a big dream in a lot of ways, but we're trying to build it from the ground up. So that's why I'm on this call, is to listen for good ideas.
So Matt, this is Karen Eggerman. I just have a question. So some of the cities involved I see on your website are ones that I know have climate action plans. So did they use that as a basis for their climate mobilization work, or did they start from scratch?
So the resolutions, and we have some of the draft ones up, basically are to take their climate goals to the next level and go wider than the climate action goals. I could connect you with the organizers in those cities to answer that question directly, because I think it depends on which city you're talking about. But I believe that these are the commitments to climate mobilization are on top of existing climate action plans. It's more like let's actually implement our climate action plan and then go beyond it on a mobilization basis, as opposed to the kind of incremental basis that most climate action plans are based on.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Anybody else?
Matt, there's Richard Chorsky again. Just curious if you see or are strongly moving toward regionalization of climate action planning under your model, and where you see the role of the AQMDs. As you know, in the Bay Area, Bay Area AQMD, you know, didn't regulate or think that carbon was part of their mandate for some years, and then a few years back they basically took it under their wing as well and have a regional carbon reduction plan. It's arguable, you know, whether that's as robust as it could be, but nonetheless, there's a marker there, and I'm just given again the resourcing differentials between counties and certain types of regional bodies like AQMDs versus smaller municipalities. I'm wondering where you see that kind of falling out in terms of responsibility for both the planning and the execution of robust efforts.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and I don't have a really great answer for you, unfortunately. I'm aware of the issue, and I think that there's a lot of the air districts and then the special districts and the JPAs and especially the CCAs having a really important role here and playing a coordinating role in all this work. But I don't have a specific answer for what the mobilization coordination looks like yet. It's a really under consideration and with people who are more deeply engaged in that policy thinking than I am. But it's a really good question. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the Richmond refinery. It's out my window here. And I think that the air districts, and especially when you're dealing with stationary sources and the industry side of this whole question, are going to play a big role if they can be empowered to, right? It has to go beyond. I think that's why we need state-level action to really focus the minds and to aggressively up-level these goals, but then also help coordinate in achieving them.
Thank you.
A couple more minutes here. Anybody else? Matt, would you be around for a few minutes after the call that I can call you back? It's Sierra.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And Matt, I'd love to touch base. I'm somewhat local as well and have a project in Richmond and would be happy to brainstorm on, particularly on the question we just raised.
Awesome. I'd love that.
Okay. All right. Matt, your contact, I assume your contact info is on your site.
Yeah, it's easy. It's matt@climatemobilization.org.
Perfect.
And anyone can feel free to reach out.
Matt, this is Jerry. Do you have any sense of any parallel movement in other states?
Not exactly from our perspective. Hoboken, New Jersey, has been pretty effective locally, and then there are other cities that have and counties that have declared climate emergency. But California is the furthest along in terms of that actual vision for implementing.
This is Tom Stanton. There is a very good quarterly summary of the major actions that states are taking with respect to electric utility modernization. It's called the 50 States of Grid Modernization. There's a separate series about electric vehicle policy and a third series about solar energy policy. Quarterly reports from the North Carolina State University Clean Energy Technology Center. So I recommend that series to you for keeping up with which states are doing what. We need a similar action to try to keep track of all the hundreds of cities that are also taking more local actions, but at least it'll give you an overall framework of who's starting to do what to address all the subjects you're talking about.
Can you share that resource?
I can share the link to the place where the documents are housed.
That'd be great.
The Department of Energy quit funding the database of it was called DESIRE, Database of State Incentives for Renewables and Efficiencies. They simply pulled the plug on the funding in about 2015. So now that organization has to charge for these reports. They're free to the state public utility commissions and state energy offices and their staff, but I believe that others have to pay. But I'll share the main link to every place that the files are indexed. I think maybe the older ones become public at some point, and some brief summaries, executive summaries, are public when they're soon published, but you'd have to explore whether you can get them for free.
Tom, do you want to send that to me, and I'll send it out to the group?
Yes, of course. Thanks.
Sierra, this is David Kay. I might just quickly mention it's a little different take and strategy and change theory, but I might mention that in New York, there was a year-long stakeholder process focused on accelerating large-scale wind and solar energy production in New York, and there was a report that was put out by the Nature Conservancy and the Alliance for Clean Energy New York that I think would be complementary to some of the things you're talking about. I could send you the link to that, too.
That would be outstanding. Thank you. Two more minutes. Anybody else? Well, this conversation is very relevant to some of the things that I'm working on as well, so I have to sit back and think a little bit about where to go forward with what I'm doing. Very important information, and sure appreciate all of you attending. Gary, outstanding job as usual, and Gary is giving his webinar tomorrow at the same time, the noon Eastern time, 9 o'clock Pacific time, so hope you can attend that as well. And thanks so much for everybody for coming, and great information. And this is recorded, so I'll be sending the link to the recording out as well as anything else anybody sends me, links to pertinent information. So thanks again.
Thanks, Sierra.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Sierra.
Thanks, all.